This was where it had all happened, Chester Nomuri told himself in the vast expanse of Tiananmen Square. The very paving stones seemed to drip with blood. He turned away. He hadn't flown JAL to China for this. Wangling this assignment for Nippon Electric Company had been difficult enough. It was a major drag working two jobs, as an account executive for NEC and a field intelligence officer for CIA. To succeed in the second, he had also to succeed in the first. And to succeed in the first, he had to simulate a true Japanese salaryman, one who subordinated everything to the good of the company. Well, at least he got to keep both of his salaries. Nomuri supposed that this deal was a sign of confidence in his abilities. He'd established a productive network of agents in Japan who would now report to other CIA case officers. And also of desperation. Langley hadn't recruited many Chinese Americans into the fold, nor could he pretend to be Chinese himself. Here in Beijing, Nomuri, whose ancestry was 100% Japanese, albeit entirely of the Southern California variety, figured he stood out about as much as Michael Jordan would. It wasn't something to make an intelligence officer without diplomatic cover feel comfortable, especially since the Chinese Ministry of State Security was every bit as powerful in this city as the Soviet KGB had ever been in Moscow, and just as ruthless. In Japan, he looked like everyone else, not here in Beijing. Looking around, he noticed that eyes lingered on him as he walked from one side of this immense square to the other. And what was it they called foreigners here? Barbarians. Yeah, Nomuri thought. Racism was the same all over the world. Dumb. That was one lesson his country had taught the world, Chester Nomuri thought, though America had still to absorb the lesson herself. The issue was trade, not exactly the president's favorite. George, Ryan said to his Secretary of the Treasury, George Winston, Mr. Pres, God damn it, George. It's hard to make the adjustment, Jack. Ryan was getting tired of the presidential trappings, and his rule was that here in the Oval Office, his name was Jack for his inner circle. After all, Ryan had joked a few times, after leaving this marble prison, POTUS, President of the United States, might be working for Trader, as the Secret Service knew him. After leaving the presidency, he'd have to find gainful employment somewhere, and the trading business beckoned. Ryan had shown a rare gift for it. Ryan's own stock holdings were now valued at just over $80 million, making Ryan by far the wealthiest American president in history. It's China? Jack asked. That's right, boss. They're having a little cash shortfall problem, and they're looking to make it up with us. How little? Oh, $70 billion or so. That is, as we say, real money. You think the PRC is building up its military again? Big time, but not so much their navy, which makes our friends in Taiwan feel a little better. The real reasons for the recognition of Taiwan had never been made known to the public. It looked pretty clear to Ryan and his Secretary of State, Scott Adler, that the People's Republic of China had played a role in the Second Persian Gulf War and probably in the preceding conflict with Japan as well. Exactly why? Well, some in CIA thought that China lusted after the mineral riches in eastern Siberia. This was suggested by the electronic mail of the Japanese industrialists who twisted their nation's path into a not-quite-open clash with America. They'd referred to Siberia as the Northern Resource Area, harkening back to when an earlier generation of Japanese strategists had called South Asia the Southern Resource Area. That had been part of another conflict, one known to history as the Second World War. In any case, the complicity of the PRC with America's enemies had merited a countermove, and besides, the Republic of China on Taiwan was a democracy, and that was something America was supposed to respect. Okay, back to the PRC's problems, George. Jack, we've been financing Chinese industrial expansion for quite a few years now. They sell things to us, we pay cash for them, and then they either keep the money or they purchase things they want from other countries, often things they could as easily buy from us. They're also dumping some products just to get dollars, selling items here at less than what they sell them to their own citizens. Now that is technically in violation of a couple federal statutes. Toss in the Trade Reform Act that we passed a few years ago because of the games the Japs were playing. I remember, George. It kind of started a little shooting war. Worst of all, perhaps, it had begun the process that had ended up with Ryan in this very room. Sec-Trez nodded. True, but it's still the law, Jack. If we apply the same trade laws to China that the Chinese apply to us, well, it'll put a major crimp in their foreign exchange accounts. I hear you, George, but we don't want to put a gun to their head, do we? What I was thinking was a little friendly encouragement. The gun is always there in the holster. The big gun is most favored nation status, and they know it. TRA is something we can apply to any country, but we've never tried it on the PRC. How come? POTUS shrugged. Because before me, too many people in this town just wanted to kiss their collective ass. Leaves a bad taste in your mouth when you do that, Mr. President, doesn't it? It can. Okay, you want to talk this over with Scott Adler. The ambassadors all work for him. Who do we have in Beijing? Carl Hitch, career FSO, late 50s, supposed to be very good. Bart Mancuso thought the shoulder boards on his undress whites were a little heavier now, with the 4 stars instead of the 2 he'd worn as comsub pack. His former boss, Admiral Dave Seaton, had fleeted up to Chief of Naval Operations, and then the president had decided that Mancuso was the guy to be the next Commander-in-Chief Pacific Sync Pack. It was quite a stretch, since he'd only had a single command at sea, USS Dallas, though that command tour had been a noteworthy one, complete with 2 missions he could still tell no one about. And having been shipmates once and briefly with the sitting president, probably hadn't hurt his career very much. The Pacific, Mancuso thought, having just completed his first morning intel brief, looked okay. It hadn't always been like that, of course, including recently when he'd fought a fairly major conflict with the Japanese, and that had included the loss of 2 of his nuclear submarines.